of course, when you did that, I got kicked out. Did anybody else get kicked out? Was it just me?
I think just you. But,
all right. Well, I'm back. It said, do you want to rejoin? And I said, yes. All right. So hi, everybody. This is our last meeting of 2022. And I don't know. This is a time of year, Harrison and I were sort of talking before everybody came on, where I really like the opportunity to do a little bit of reflection at the end of the year and then start to think about kind of, you know, what is next year going to look like? And so that really is what today is about, is taking a little bit of time to talk about what we've been doing over the last year. And as I've been preparing for this morning, I kind of got like, I don't know, a little excited about all the things that have happened this year. And just, I think the momentum around credentials, from what I hear from all of you, it seems that way to me, but I hear you echo it, that there's a momentum here that is new and exciting. And I definitely think 2023 has a lot in store for us. So that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But let me run through our housekeeping items. You know, I just a reminder about the Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct. I'll take a stealer from my slide and say, I actually feel like, you know, over the last several months, you know, I think at the beginning of when I started, we were kind of having a conversation around how do we really be respectful? And I feel like we've really actually been doing a great job with that. And how I am enjoying really how the list is working and how we're able to communicate on that list. And so, well done, but also let's keep continuing to keep that in mind and really remember that we're all trying to achieve the same goals. The IP note is here in the agenda. We welcome anybody to participate in these calls. If you are going to contribute substantial work, then you need to go ahead and join and sign the contributor license agreement. We keep notes for this call and minutes and a recording so that you're able to go back and review it, which I think is a really helpful. I know I've missed a couple that I really was excited about. And so having that record, in addition to providing us with documentation of what we're doing and what we're working on, also gives us the opportunity to revisit things that, we might be interested in. And so now I get to come to the time where I'm looking for introductions and reintroductions. If you're new to the community, we'd love to hear from you and welcome you. And if you haven't been here for a while, we'd love to welcome you back. Anybody want to join the queue for that? If you want to, you can just type Q plus and I will call on you, or Harrison will call on you. Someone will call on you. All right. No one is going to introduce themselves today. How about announcements and reminders? Nanu.
Hi. A couple of just end of the year announcements. There's going to be at least one more work item probably presented around, verifiable issuers, verifiers, possibly in the next couple of weeks. So just a heads up to everyone to keep an eye out for that on the mailing list. And that'll probably be followed by just a work item, request. And we expect to kind of kick that work off early next year. It has a lot of overlap with the trust registry's work that's being done at TOIP and all that kind of stuff. And all these groups have been coordinating. So, that's kind of exciting, for the new year, as a work item. Also this week, the, status list 2021 spec that this group's working on, is expected to be you know, up for a vote on whether or not we're going to pull it into the verifiable credentials working group. So just a heads up to the chairs that we may need to push some buttons to get a final community group specification published for that item. And I think that's largely it. That's it.
Great. Thank you. Kalia?
I just wanted to share again about the APAC event that we're pulling together March 1 to 3 in Bangkok, Thailand. It's inspired by IIW, but it's called the APAC Digital Identity Unconference. So that's my announcement. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
It doesn't have, I'll share a link to my save the date notice. We don't have a site up yet.
But. Perfect. Thank you. David.
Yeah. Just a heads up that I'm currently, just started some work with Mark Hain, who chairs the IDA working group within the Open ID Foundation. This is a identity assurance primarily designed for banking finance, but to give high assurance. And, we're looking at how we might incorporate this as an evidence field in verifiable credentials. So at the moment, we haven't decided whether this should be a work item proposed to this group or to the Open ID Foundation. But just a heads up, if people are interested in that, give me a nod. Thanks.
Great. You're right on the theme for today. Harrison.
Just a quick reminder, we won't have meetings next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that, and we'll resume the first week of January. And I can send out the W3C CCG meeting calendar shortly. Yeah.
Harrison has been working really hard on the Education Tuesday calls, and we have some great things lined up in the new year. I'm really excited about the topics we have coming. Okay, I am going to move us to our main topic, which is really to talk about the work items. And I took a minute to prepare some slides, and I'm going to try to share them. Did I do it? Are you seeing key accomplishments?
Yep.
Oh, good. I will put the link to this in the chat when I'm finished. I just wanted to take a minute to kind of, again, as I said at the beginning, reflect on what's happened this year. And I really like stats. And it took me a minute to figure out. I'm not a GitHub whiz, and so some of you may have a better way for me to do this because I wasn't actually able to do just this year. These are the stats for everything that is on GitHub, but I was kind of blown away that we have 112 repositories that are a part of the CCG. They're written in 6 languages, 886 issues, 420 forks. That seems like a lot of work that's been done as a part of the CCG. So that's kind of one area where I feel like we have done an incredible job. This Tuesday call over the last year, as I looked back and saw the various topics like the NFT identity, the digital wallets, Did Actor, all the things we've done around Plugfest, the protocol match. We've had some incredible topics, and I know I for one have learned an incredible amount over the last year. And I think the conversation on the list, as I mentioned earlier, has been really interesting and moving the work forward, which is great. One of the things that I feel especially pleased about is that we really have incorporated some new member onboarding. If you're not a new member, you don't know about this, but if you have joined over the last year, then you have gotten a welcome email with a link to a presentation that gives you kind of just a sense of what it is that we do here. And I think that has, this community has been growing very, very quickly. And I think having that in place, will help us to get more folks who are actively contributing. Just in my stats, I wanted to sort of pull this up. This was interesting to me, the different languages. And then you can see these work items that have been a focus for us, traceability, signatures, VC API, just how much work has been done over the course of time that this event, this item has been active. And again, congratulations to everyone. This is a lot of work. And the work specifically, so now I'm going to stop sharing for a second. And I've asked some folks to come and share what they've been working on this year and in these work items. And so let me look down my list here. I'm just going to call on you. And if you want to kind of jump in and put yourself on the queue, and then we'll definitely be inviting everyone from the community to be a part of this conversation. But let me just go ahead and, Tobias, are you on? I don't see him yet. All right. And, how about, Manu, you're going to help me out by volunteering to go first.
No problem. So I think there's some really interesting things that we've accomplished this year. Kimberly, you know, the stats that you showed are great, right? I mean, it's great to see that much engagement across multiple different work items. You know, we are now, as a group, I think like well over 500 members. And we're having to have multiple calls per week out of necessity. Like we have so many, you know, parallel work items that need dedicated calls. And in those dedicated calls, they're, you know, between, 10 to 18 extra people per call that's happening. VC EDUs, like huge now, right? It keeps gaining momentum in size and the number of things they're working on. Traceabilities, you know, got some really solid, you know, engagement week to week, and are, you know, generating enormous amounts of, you know, content in their vocabularies and specifications. So I think it's like really neat to see the community fan out. Like we really fanned out this year into multiple parallel work items. I wanted to share really quickly, like where we were at the beginning of the year. So at the beginning of the year, we didn't know if decentralized identifiers were going to be allowed to be a global standard, you know, at W3C. Like we were right in the grips of being effectively locked out from the last stage. And there was a lot of disagreement about how to, you know, proceed. And there were some failings when it came to W3C process that made it last a really long time. And because of that, it put all the verifiable credentials work in danger. Like we couldn't recharter that. And you know, in hindsight, we can look back and go, oh yeah, we totally made it past that. Like decentralized identifiers are a global web standard today. Full stop. It exists because of the work that we did. We made it past that what seemed back then to be this thing that we may not survive, like that spec might not survive that. But today we know it did. In the verifiable credentials, 2.0 work has now been chartered. Like we didn't even predict that for whatever reason. It wasn't even on here, on our kind of, standards, roadmap. But we're well into that work now. That charter was approved, during the summer. So just that in and of itself is I think a huge accomplishment for this community, getting decentralized identifiers 1.0 done and shipped and getting a verifiable credentials 2.0 charter, done. And now, you know, we're very much, in the throes of that group and getting things move forward. For those that haven't seen this, I try every year to and capture the work items that this group's kind of involved in. You know, and so if you look at the years, this is like 2024 and we're here right now, right at the change of 2023. And there are things that we were not necessarily predicting to go standards track that are going standards track now, like credential status list 2021. This week is supposed to be discussed to go standards track. We weren't expecting that to happen until 2024, basically. The credential handler API, we just had a really great call yesterday with like Google and Mozilla, and Microsoft, you know, browser teams, on the line. This community showed up in a big way there. Like that was a 43 person call. Their calls are usually not that big. And there were lots of people, from the community, that were participating. RDF dataset canonicalization is on the standards track right now. There's an active working group, and that work, you know, largely came from this group. Data integrity, same thing. JSON Web Signature, 2020. And then of course there are a variety of other things that we are still kind of looking at. So lots of stuff transitioned onto the standards track, this year. And I think that's something we should definitely be happy about and celebrating. And on top of that, there was, Interoperability Plugfest, the Jobs for the Future Interop Plugfest, that got like a ton of organizations demonstrating interoperability with the technologies that we've built here over the years. And that was no small feat. Like there were a lot of companies that were involved, in that interop, Plugfest, and not all of them are listed here, right? There was another group, you know, that was involved there. So like huge gains made in actually demonstrating real interoperability out in the open, this year. So I think we should be really, really proud of, you know, what we've been able to accomplish. And I wanted to underscore what an amazing job the chairs are doing in this group. Like it used to be like before kind of this year. I mean, you know, in the past, it was hard for us to kind of predict like, what are we going to be talking about next week or the week after that? And, you know, our chairs today have things like planned out into like February of next year, right? We have never really been in that position, in the past. And so, you know, kudos to the chairs who are doing an amazing job seeing what's on the horizon and inviting people in to speak about those things so that we can get, you know, more work items and more work, done in this community. That's it for now.
Thanks, Manu. I think it's a testament to how like much excitement there is around this world that there are so many. I mean, we're coming to the point now where we're like, okay, well, you know, we got to really consider like what do we have time for? Cause there's so many great, great concepts and things to learn about. So thank you. Joe. Do you mind if I put you on the spot next?
Can you hear me now?
We can.
You can. I wasn't prepared to say anything. But I guess, you know, I want to echo Manu's point. As a past chair of this group, you know, we did live hand to mouth with regular weekly meetings, say, hey, what are we going to talk about this week? And sometimes we had great stuff and sometimes we didn't. So I do appreciate that the current leadership has put some systems in place and some processes. So we have some visibility, which lets people plan, you know, whether or not to attend. I think the most interesting work that we've seen in this last week, this last year, I want to highlight Kalia's work with the state of California. I think that really has been an amazing shift in, sort of the muggles, awareness of how these technologies might actually change real business and governance processes. So, I think that's my big highlight. Even though it's not something I worked on, that's what I would mention.
That's a great one. And I completely, as a muggle, I completely agree. Mike.
A name, can I deny?
Yeah, no, it's you. I told you I was putting you on the spot for something. You didn't, so.
No, I mean, a number of things. I mean, I do want to really give a big kudos to you and Harrison both. I mean, it's been awesome to have kind of a core group that can like continually stay in touch, ask questions, plan things out, to engage with different aspects of the community. Like we all know different people kind of throughout the community and go, okay, what's going on? What's actually happening? What's happening on the mailing list? How should we line stuff up? And to do that well in advance has been awesome. It's also given us a good ability to go engage and say and drive other people to be interested in the CCG that otherwise really would just be off doing business stuff, right? Which is cool. Like, that's important. But this cross pollination, I think, is really key. Work item and stretch out stuff has been big, right? One of the things that is constantly on my mind, especially over, I would say, the last 90 days, and obviously we've talked about it as, you know, chairs, is, well, what is the evolution going on with CCG now that, like, oh, VCs and DIDs are both a thing? We weren't sure that was actually going to happen, and it happened. And obviously we're still, you know, working on enhancements and incubating stuff. A great case is like status list is going to be critical, right, to go get involved in some way and actually get standardized. It's an essential function. But what does that mean for what's going to happen for the future of CCG and what topics are going to come up and what is going to be the nature of work items, right? And we're seeing some of that evolving now. And that's interesting to watch. It's also interesting to me to think about, okay, how can we as chairs support and how can we be there for the community to help promote things that are going on and bring special topic calls up, you know, kind of as appropriate, and as things are going on, like, you know, the Kalia work with, you know, California and, you know, items like, hey, let's go look about how to integrate this stuff into browsers, right? These are all really, really critical and important things. And I think, kudos to the community for doing all the legwork. So we're here to support and bug us if we're doing something wrong. All of us have thick skins. None of us will get hurt if you tell us we're idiots. Like, we're here for you as much as we can be. And, you know, like that feedback, from the community. So, just thanks everyone for being here and continually showing up and doing the work and moving stuff forward. So.
Thanks, Mike. Ori, what have you been up to this year?
Mostly working on the traceability vocabulary and the API. I think those are the only items I've been actively contributing to that I can recall in recent memory.
Do you mind giving everybody kind of an update on where they're at?
Sure. As part of the vocabulary work, we have been exploring ways of managing JSON-LD contexts and JSON schemas together. There's some tooling that we built a while ago that we're still using that supports generating a JSON-LD context from a folder of annotated JSON schema. Since we've been using that, I think Spruce has released a similar sort of themed tool called TreeLDR, which is a different language but helps accomplish a sort of similar objective. As part of that vocabulary work, we spend a lot of time looking at what's the JSON schema shape, what's the JSON-LD RDF shape, and can we improve both of them in a way that's obvious and easy for maybe contributors without a lot of experience in RDF data modeling? And at the same time, are there components of RDF data modeling that we really ought to be paying more attention to and that can improve the consumption and experience of verifiable credentials that make use of some of these more advanced semantic data modeling considerations. Another part of the vocabulary work that we've been fairly actively involved in is sort of looking at what we call traceable sort of presentations and workflows. So that's a series of verifiable presentations between parties where you have, you know, maybe party A presenting a series of credentials to party B. They might make they might present all those credentials at once, or they might present, you know, the first two, and then depending on the result, they might then present additional credentials later on. So how do we think about sort of series of presentations between parties, series of issuance and verification and presentation across supply chain parties? And, you know, when we think about data exchange using the verifiable credentials data model, what are the requirements that a verifier would need, you know, before a given workflow is complete. So we've done a lot of modeling around that sort of scenario for supply chain workflows. Another area that we've spent a lot of time on has been interoperability testing. Credit to Measure for their work on the traceability interoperability profile, which is a subset of the VC API, but has some really awesome testing infrastructure capabilities where we can register once and then do automated cross testing. We have these beautiful sunburst diagrams and charts and visualizations for how folks are doing. And those tests run every night and those visuals are rebuilt every time the tests are run. I think another area that we've looked at has been the efficiency of presentations. So verifiable presentations are often authenticated. So that requires the prover to get a challenge from the verifier. And that's great if you have a human in the loop and you're really trying to bind that authentication event to that particular point. But it can be sort of problematic if you're really just trying to have one party send a bunch of data to another party using a verifiable presentation. And so we've done a lot of work looking at OAuth secured, traceable presentations where a client basically is authenticated and the client sends verifiable presentations to the server and they don't have to do an interactive authentication step as part of each presentation. Yeah, I think that's probably enough of a summary.
That's a great summary. All right, well, let me open it up to the entire group. Are there work items that you've been working on this year that you want to let the community know where they stand? Please add yourself to the queue. Manu, are you still on the queue?
No, I should be off the queue, but since I'm speaking, I'd love to hear from Kalia and Lucy about their work on California. I'm guessing, like, you know, people can't read everything that comes across their desk, but I think it's vital, the work that they did, because it's one of the first, it's a really important engagement that I feel is new to this community, meaning like we have, you know, for many years, we were very focused, like razor sharp focused on the technology, and we weren't really that focused on communicating outside or, you know, training folks on how to write specs and how to engage with the community. And I think there's been a lot of progress there. And at this point, like we literally have nation states that are looking at the work that we're doing in planning national strategy, national digital identity strategy around the stuff that we're doing. So that happens at both the state, you know, level, as well as the national level. And so kind of hearing, you know, from, Kalia and Lucy about the process that they went to one, get legislation into law, right? And two, how that process has been working, I think would that might help other people kind of like find their place in the community as far as like here's a way that you can contribute, right? Anyway, so sorry to put you on the spot, Kalia, but
so thanks, Manu. So the good news is that I'm bringing the colleagues that I worked with at the Blockchain Advocacy Coalition and our Verifiable Credentials Policy Committee that I led, to come and speak to the group to go into those details. Jamie Miner, who is our lobbyist, zoomed into IIW and we did a session there. So we'll bring that to CCG in the new year. I think, a key piece of it was, you know, Tony Rose connected up to, Ali Medina, and she is a, you know, I don't know much about politics in California and I still feel like I know very little, but I certainly know more about it than I did 2 years ago. And really it's a process of relationship building and connecting to legislators who want to make a difference. And so through her connections and our contract lobbyist, Jamie, we worked with Senator Hertzberg and his office to originally the idea that we had was to put forward a trust framework for the state. And we went through one house, one committee and hearing successfully for that. But then it got suspended in appropriations because it was like going to cost money to make a trust framework. And our sponsor, Senator Hertzberg, wanted to do something. And so we were like, let's do something smaller. Let's just change the regulations, amend the regulations about what was needed to issue vital records. And this actually was motivated by a real crisis that happened during the pandemic, is that some counties ran out of the fancy paper that by law they were required to use to issue these documents. And there was no alternative. So now there is this kind of backup / forward-looking alternative with digital. And I think, yeah, so basically hopefully that's enough for now, in terms of explaining the process, but we'll in the new year bring Jamie to the group and we can talk more about it. And I want to say that there's some work items that Lucy and I both do and some work items that she does and some work items that I do. So I've been really working on the California New Work independent of Lucy. But I think, you know, she and I are definitely a team working on many, many things, including the latest community oriented work that we've done around trying to make sense about the gap and opportunity between the verifiable credentials and the mobile driver's license. So I don't know if people want to hear about that work as well. And maybe I'll turn it over to Lucy to do that.
Lucy, are you on? I don't know. I don't see her on. So we definitely do want to hear about that work, and we will get that scheduled as well. That was a fantastic teaser. That's what I was hoping you would give. It was just like, it was like a movie premiere. I'm like, I can't wait to see that when it comes out. So thank you. We're really looking forward to having you come and talk about that work. David, I think you're on the queue.
Yes, thank you. The work we've been doing in the last 6 months, or slightly longer, is working with Fraunhofer in Germany. For those of you who don't know, Fraunhofer had an ESSF lab project called TRAIN a couple of years ago, and we also had an ESSF lab project at the same time, and we worked with them to integrate TRAIN into verifiable credentials to say how you could trust the issuer by putting a terms of use field into credentials. And that allowed the issuer to say, I'm a member of this trust federation. And then the verifier could verify by contacting the trust federation to see if the issuer was trusted. And that was great. That was done. And then after the ESSF lab project finished, we also showed how we could trust the schema that the issuer is using and get the schema back from the trust framework to make sure that the credentials were properly issued and were well formed. And then in the last 6 months, we've added to TRAIN trust in the verifier. So you might want to say, well, why do you need trust in the verifier? Well, the analogy will be a user is on his web browser and he goes to a web page. And that web page might be a scammer or whatever. And, or it might be, you know, sheep in wolf's clothing. And, TLS is introduced to ensure that the user is actually definitely connecting to the website and to the DNS owner through what's called a DV public key certificate. So the analogy in the verifiable credentials case is that the user goes to some relying party stroke verifier who says, I would like to see your personal information in the shape of verifiable credentials, and the user needs to be told whether this relying party stroke verify is actually trustworthy or not, and it's part of some trust framework, or if there's some unknown entity that might abuse your personal information that you give to them. And so that's what we've been working on, building that into our wallet and into the OpenID for verifiable presentations protocol.
Thank you. That's also very exciting. Lucy, I think that you are on. Would you like to talk a little bit about the work you've been doing this year?
Hi, Kimberly. I'm just on. Clea pulled me in. So I'm sorry if I missed like the earlier kind of context, if you don't mind.
We've been kind of having an opportunity to share what work we've been doing this year. And, she was sharing a little bit about the vital records work that you both have been doing, but she mentioned having you share a little bit about what you've been doing with, the mobile driver's license.
Oh, got it. Thank you. I think that the vital records is Kalia's work. I'm not involved in that part, but I have been working with Kalia this year, particularly focusing on how we can communicate and the standard work, the technology work, and where we are with the technology and standard and to the broader market. I think that includes the VC NMDL project, which I believe already kind of touched upon last week. So I'm not intending to get too much into details, but Kalia, if you don't mind sharing the link in case some of the folks here today were not on session last week. I think just in general, I think my work has been focusing on just communicating. And also I think one of like the findings from our VCMDL project as well as other project is how to find, as the technology and standards go into market, what the role, I think the implementers outside of the standard or technology, core technology community can play, and from a providing feedback point of view, we're kind of working together to take like the standards and beyond what is happening in the standard groups, because my understanding is the standards are evolving and there's a process there, but there's a lot of like real world problems that need to be solved that probably won't be completely in sync with standards. So how the work can be done, like, you know, outside of standard groups that can help facilitate the use of the technologies and standards. I think that's something like a big learning. I mean, for myself, I think also for Clea and I, like next year, how we can help more kind of work there is something like we want to explore further. So hope that's
it's a great concept. And in fact, it really puts in my mind that, you know, that the CCG really can be a place for that feedback loop to exist, right? We're doing incredible standards work, as we talked about in the beginning, and things that are now really getting out there in the wild. And there's a danger whenever that happens of like, you know, ending up down the road and being like, well, yeah, that has always been a problem. Whereas if we really are starting to connect that circle, we can get the feedback to the folks, in this group that are doing the work. So thank you. That was great. Let's see, Manu.
Yeah, I wanted to maybe ask folks to weigh in on incubation venues. So I'm talking about things like rebooting the Web of Trust, Internet Identity Workshop. I think one of the other things that one of the other things that has changed over the past couple of years and has really changed this year is we now have so many people in the group that we are able to sustain like good active connections with other groups where we are seeing things like what David Chadwick talked about, which is, you know, the incubation in SF Lab and the coordination among parties there. And then, potentially work that's happening at rebooting and IAW incubating out there and then eventually resulting in like a work item in CCG. Or ITF or, you know, any of those other venues. So, I don't know, Joe, again, sorry to put you on the spot, but could you speak a bit to that? And then maybe, you know, Kalia could speak a bit to incubation at IAW.
Sure. I can speak a bit to, rebooting. So, we ended up taking a couple years off, because of COVID. as we travel the world. We were going to be in Argentina and Buenos Aires, and that did not work out. So it was this last fall in September, we managed to pull the team back together, and we had a workshop in The Hague. Had maybe 70 attendees. It was a pretty good turnout, and I think we got some really good advancement on a lot of very interesting topics. I think one of the most consequential to our work here is the work being done by Oliver Turbu and Paul Bastian on figuring out how do we deal with holder binding related use cases where people want to do certain things with VCs. And it's complicated and controversial. And I was really happy that we were able to host that work. We currently are not planning on having one next spring, but hopefully we'll be able to pull some together for the fall.
Great. Thank you. Clea, do you want to talk about, oh, actually, Phil, let me have you jump in and add your thoughts.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say, just to support what Joe was saying, as a first time participant at the, RBO, or Rebooting the Web of Trust workshop, I went there with, Dimitri Zagadoulin, and we had submitted a paper on linked claims. And, from that workshop, met up two or three other people that were strong contributors to the work over the intensive multi-days of writing. The result of all of that has been two things. One is a spin-off that describes the use of linked claims for the purposes of documenting disaster relief resources in places around the world where philanthropy provides funding to local parties to deliver services, and the question is, do the actual services get delivered and, you know, or not? A paper on that and description of it is being submitted to and will be published by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation's T3 Innovation Network. And the second is the actual paper itself on linked claims, which uses a multi-base hash link to bind independent digital objects, including a credential to a credential or a credential to third-party objects, which will be submitted in its final form in just a week or so. So I just wanted to underscore the importance of that sort of incubator space, as Manu described it, and encourage people to consider it. Even though I'm not the technologist that most of the individuals there are, I was warmly welcomed and was greatly appreciative. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. That's great. Clea, do you want to add anything about IIW?
Sure. IIW continued throughout the pandemic. We had four virtual IIWs, and people put their foot down and said, you must go back in person. And we, in fact, did this year with two in-person events in Mountain View. We had we were, I think our peak attendance in the virtual IIW was 460 people. We sold out both of the last two IIWs. We had, pushing 280, at the first one this year, and we expanded, it rented more of the venue and expanded attendance, and we ended up at 350 this last IIW. It felt really, incredibly productive. It's one of those things where I'm watching it all go by in the middle of it and just feels really overwhelming. But I know, based on the report outs and the topics that were listed, a lot of productive work moved forward, both in the sessions and on the side of sessions. I think it's one of the values of the event is people can sit down and have long conversations about how to resolve things. Like, I know there was discussions about that, however long the issue thread has gotten about context and semantics and credentials. But I think I saw people talking for hours, trying to find a path through that for the community and for the work, which is really heartening to see. I also think that the sort of pressure on the seams of IIW means the time is right to expand and support regional communities meeting, that we see IIW as a core kind of global event. And, you know, there's people who want to connect with other SSI companies in their region and expand the work, both in Europe and in APAC, that, you know, everybody who wants to talk about SSI isn't going to get on a plane and fly to Mountain View. So I think the timing is right for what we're doing with these regional events. And what else can I say? I mean, I'm open to respond to any questions or concerns people have. We're always seeking to be really responsive to the community and help meet its needs.
Thanks, Clea. I was.
And women's breakfast was a super hit.
I was going to say it was an incredible. The women's breakfast was an incredible success, and that group of people have sort of coalesced around some ideas and have been very communicative over the last little bit. And I'm going to try to get some of those folks to be joining us here as well. Okay, we just have a few minutes left. And so if you have been sitting in this meeting and saying, this is a lot of work, there is a lot going on, and in 2023, I really want to take a more active role. Well, I want to take just a couple of minutes and tell you how you can do that. Let me see here. So this is sort of the second part of your onboarding training if you've joined us recently, because I know it took me a while to sort of get my head around what are we doing here? And so I wanted to take, I have just a couple of slides to just paint a picture for you. And again, I'll put this link out into the community, because this link here at the top will take you right to a document about the work item process. But I really wanted to just highlight kind of what is it that we do, so that you could be thinking about the work you do and how you might be able to contribute. So we really do two kinds of things. We do community reports, and the goal of those is to sort of do something that is going to be a final report. It's going to be a specification and a document that we send up to a working group. It might be a note that's sort of information that's helpful to that working group, or we might even just create some commentary that's really just helpful for us, and we never do anything else with it, but we want to have that information for the betterment of this community. And then we have a number of things that are ongoing community drafts, and this isn't intended to sort of be a final document, but really companion pieces, a conformance test suite that kind of can go alongside of a specification, or a registry, which is really just a long-lived list of things that we need to be aware of, that we need to know about, like all the DID methods. Having those lists, I know, is very helpful to me. Schema, and having reference schemas that are out there, such as the JSON-LD context, or some of the experimental implementations that you've been hearing about for the last little bit. All of those are specific work items that can be proposed and established. We're going to talk about task forces. VCEDU, we've mentioned a couple of times, they're going to be here right after the new year. And so I've sort of left them off of this for right now. But I just, those are sort of the key work items. And this is the cycle for how they go. So you first step is to propose one. I'd like to do X. And if you've had something in your mind, then that's the very first step, and we want to hear about it. The next step is an adoption step, where as a community, again, more than 500 people strong, we will discuss it together and decide how to move forward, at which point it will become a draft, which is really a let's make the thing. Like, let's just get to work and put our heads down and do the thing we just said we were going to do. And then we have sort of two resolutions. Sometimes things get archived because it just wasn't as important as maybe we thought it was initially, and so we went ahead and retired it. Or it's final. It becomes a thing. We pass it along. You heard a number of folks talk about items that have been passed on this year. And so we've contributed something to the greater community. So if you have a work item that you want to propose, again, the link here is here. There's a few things to think about. It needs a name. It needs an abstract, a description of it. It needs owners. And this is often where work items, I think, get a little bit stuck, is that you need to have two work items or two owner editors from two different organizations. And that, I think, is hopefully something in the new year that we can work on with, you know, we have these folks who are wanting to do this work item. Who else is interested in that? And maybe we can have a little matchmaking. And then you need to be able to answer these key questions. What are you trying to do without jargon or acronyms? How does it happen today? And what are the limits? What's the problem that isn't solving? And what is new in your approach and why do you think it'll be successful? And how are you involving participants from multiple skill sets all over? And what actions are you taking to make this work item accessible to a non-technical audience? And we can help walk you through this if you have questions on that and you want to talk to one of the chairs. I know all three of us would be more than happy to work through this process with you. And once you've created this little template, then you can just email that link to the CCG mailing list, and that will actually make it a proposed work item that we can then start to discuss. And then lastly, just to kind of end off, should I propose a CCG work item? Of course, yes, we definitely want work items. Things to consider, I think, are can you envision what the end result of this will be? And do you have the time? I think all of the folks that you heard speak today, you know, you can definitely see the amount of time and energy that goes into putting this kind of work forward. And of course, it's important to know, are you going to get others on board? If this is going to be sort of a solitary project that you're going to do and nobody else really has this, has the same goal that you have, it's going to be hard for this to get all the way through the process. So that's, I think, something that you need to consider. And then lastly, of course, you need to be to determine whether or not you're okay working on this and doing this under the Community Contributor License Agreement. And then lastly, if you're here and you're like, well, that all sounds great, but I'm not ready to propose a work item, but I do want to get more active. It was really helpful to me as I've been working on sort of doing the research to talk to you about the accomplishments we had this year, to also sort of say, okay, well, how would someone get active? And really, GitHub is a great place to do it. You can, in fact, the link that I gave you at the very beginning with the stats actually shows you every active repository. And it tells you, when you click on that, it tells you all kinds of interesting things like who are the people that are involved in that. And you can follow those people and connect with them. You can follow the repositories. And then you can start to ask questions when you see something that doesn't make sense to you, and really that will move the work forward and enable you to get started in doing that. So I took more time than I wanted to do because we are just about at time. But I did want to just take a moment to sort of circle the wagons around what are work items. Be thinking over the next couple of weeks before our next meeting, is there something that's on your mind that we need to consider addressing in the new year? I will take a couple more questions off the queue if there are any. I have David and Manu, but I think that's from before, yeah?
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Happy New Year, and we will see you shortly after the new year.
Thanks, all.
Gregory, did you have a question?